Well, hello everyone and welcome back. Today is Friday, April 1st. Yes, April Fool's Day, 2016. My name is Angela Walton-Raji and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, hey, what can I say? Happy April Fool's Day. Don't fall for any of the tricks they're going to play on you today. But hey, welcome to April as well. And I'll just say that I really consider April officially springtime. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad. So glad winter is now just a memory. But we've been having windy weather here in the Mid-Atlantic two or three days. But, you know, hey, what is it? It's always windy in March, and certainly March definitely blew out pretty fiercely. And also, just some prayers for some friends out in Oklahoma. They've had some really severe weather. I hope that everyone is safe out there. I grew up in that part of the country and know what it's like to live in the tornado belt. So please, everyone out there in that part of the country, please definitely, you know, stay safe, watch the skies, and listen for those sirens when they start going off, those storm sirens. Anyway, but here, you know, we've started to mellow out. I see a slight elevation in the temperature these days. And wow, I'm excited. Today, I have an invitation for you. I want you to join me today at 12 o'clock p.m. That's 12 o'clock noon Eastern Daylight Time on WYPR. That is Maryland's public radio station, or Baltimore's public radio station, midday. Well, I'm going to be a guest. I am so excited about that. Now, actually, the focus of it is an in-depth interview with Dr. Heather Williams, who is the author of a very, very poignant book, Help Me to Find My People. And she really talks about the quest for family that people continued for years and years and years. And many times one found an ancestor, or one may find even old newspapers from 1900, 1910, and you still see articles that were appearing in the press, people trying to find loved ones from whom they were separated during those horrific years of slavery. 50 years later, they're still looking for their loved ones. I had a situation similar to that in my own family. On my maternal side, my mother's great-grandmother, Amanda, looked for the answer to whatever happened to her own family, to her husband, her father, and her son. She lost them all during the Civil War, and she was continually seeking answers to what may have happened. She filed for a pension because she knew he left with the Yankees when they came through, and but she didn't know what unit he may have served in. She also had a sister who left, and believe it or not, after 50 years, they were reunited, and it was during her quest to find her family that she found her sister, at least. And it's just a poignant story. And anyway, I'm honored. I'm going to be a guest today on WYPR. I'm going to put a link for you so that you can listen to the live stream. And of course, it will be available as a podcast after the program airs. But if you want to certainly listen live, and if you want to call in to the show as well, I'm going to put a phone number there for you. And hey, just tune in. I'm excited. I was so thrilled I was invited to be the local genealogist. And hopefully if there are any basic questions that people may have on how to get started, I'll be there to help them as well. So I am just so, so, so thrilled. Also, I'm busy preparing for a presentation tomorrow in Hyattsville, Maryland. I'll be giving a presentation at the public library in Hyattsville about essential online resources for African American genealogy. Now, that's going to be tomorrow at 2 p.m. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing friends in Prince George's County, Maryland communities there. And I really just can't wait to share some of the sites that I consider essential sites with them, but also to, you know, listen to others who may have favorite sites that they use and get some interaction from those in attendance. What do you consider essential? What do you consider sort of the must-go-to site out there? So I am very much looking forward to that. Now, of course, tomorrow is also a busy day with another major event going on in Baltimore at the Reginald Lewis Museum. Now, the April meeting of the Agnes Callum chapter of AHCS, the Afro-American Historical and Genealogical Society, well, they're hosting two speakers. One of the speakers, well, is Dr. Heather Williams, and the other speaker is Professor Dale Green from Morgan State University. And, of course, Dr. Williams is going to talk about her book, Help Me to Find My People. And Dr. Green is going to be talking about the lives of African-Americans in a unique community in Talbot County, Maryland. For those of you who are familiar with Maryland, you will know that that is on the eastern shore of Maryland. But the theme is really discussing as a whole African Americans, both enslaved and free. This is going to be, as I said, tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m. at the Reginald Lewis Museum. So if you're in the greater Baltimore area, that's the place to be. If you're a little bit farther to the south in Prince George's County, Maryland, well, hey, I hope to see some of you in Hyattsville. Anyway, wow, just a lot of things that have been shared with me also this week. There was a very heartwarming story that is coming out of Gulfport, Mississippi. And this is one where, and you know how these things happen. We hear about burial grounds that have been abandoned or have fallen into disrepair, in some cases, neglect. And this is one of those stories, really of a family that's, well, looking for the burial site of an ancestor. And a woman who was featured on this story out of Gulfport was very interested in knowing where her grandmother was buried. She was a child when her grandmother died, and now this woman is a mature lady and certainly just remembers that grandma died and she's buried over there somewhere, but I'm not exactly sure where the cemetery is. Well, the community heard about the lady's search for her grandmother's burial site. And volunteers started helping, and they actually brought in a team of volunteers and search dogs. And surely enough, they found the cemetery. And beyond that, they not only found the cemetery, the very first stone that they found was the exact headstone they'd been searching for, and that was that of the grandmother. And it's actually very well preserved, a beautiful stone. And for me, I guess it was a wonderful story of collaboration and a story of dedication, and which really just shows how when sometimes more than one person, more than two people, maybe a small group, but an effective group of individuals put their heads together, they can solve a mystery. And it was just a beautiful story. And I'm putting a link to the local study story coming out of Gulfport on their station WLOX-TV. And it's just very, very heartwarming, and I just really wanted to share that with you. Now, there is another cemetery story. This one, I guess, is unfolding, and it's not quite as happy a story. And this one concerns, I guess I was concerned when I heard it, because I have visited this cemetery. I'm referring to historic Greenwood Cemetery in St. Louis, Missouri. and beautiful cemetery. I know that, oh gosh, a lady probably well into her 70s has been working for several years, sort of spearheading really an effort to preserve and to restore some of the areas that have been sort of covered with overgrowth. And anyway, Mrs. Ella Daniels has done tremendous things to preserve Greenwood Cemetery. And she's got people now volunteering from literally all over the county, all over St. Louis County, and people who are coming in and who are helping to clear not just the brush away. I mean, they're not just clearing it away from stones, but they're taking it away, and they're making such strides because there were some acres that have been just closed off from public access for decades, and it's just been wonderful. About 3 or 4 years ago, I had the wonderful opportunity of having a tour of that facility, and wow, what a joy it was. And also in that cemetery, Harriet Scott, who's the wife of Dred Scott. You know the Dred Scott case out of St. Louis in the late 1850s? Yes, this was his wife. She is buried there. Well, the story, and this was just shared today, it was actually shared on social media, and so it is unfolding. Apparently, the committee of people who work on that cemetery quite regularly were in the midst of doing some work, and some other people came. They wanted to talk about some future projects there, so they were on the grounds of the cemetery. And while they were there, several people arrived with vans and were driving over a burial area. There are some cemeteries that have a section called Baby Land, which is where infants who died are buried. And the people who were there got out of the vans and started walking around with dogs. And they claimed that they had permission, but they were driving over the terrain, leaving ruts in the soil, possibly, although no one really knows, but possibly over potential grave sites. And they were spoken to, the people who were there, the volunteers. Well, wait a minute, what's going on? They said, oh, we have permission to be here. And it turns out the story was one where canine dogs were being trained by the local police department to, I guess, what, sniff. These are cadaver dogs in training, so to speak. And wow, you know, here they were at a burial site training animals, and said, oh yes, we have permission, or we're okay, we're with the police, they know we're here. And they finished, they left with no apology nor kind words. And wow, it just really broke my heart to hear that, lack of respect just being shown in an official capacity and in such a blatant, in-your-face manner. It just was of concern. I will put a link. I don't know if you can get to the Facebook site if you're not on Facebook, but for those of you who are, you may want to read the story in its entirety. And I understand that there may be some follow-up in the local press about the story, because clearly, people were visibly upset to see a team of people coming to train dogs at this historic African-American burial ground. And there just seems to be very little logic that's there. But that's a story that certainly many of us will be following in the genealogy community and in the community of preservationists. It is certainly something that's of interest that's there. Now, I said that particular story was shared on social media, which it was. It was shared on Facebook. How many of you actually use social media for genealogy? Many people do, but I keep finding many people who also don't. And I just wanted to point out that, well, there's another group on social media that I think Well, it should stir a little bit of interest from people in the community. And this is because many of us have had ancestors who were active in benevolent societies. You may have had an ancestor or maybe even a current relative who is active in Prince Hall Masons or in the Elks or in the Order of the Eastern Star or any number of organizations. And these mostly fraternal organizations, and some of them are benevolent societies. Well, they actually, especially in the early part of the 20th century and the latter part of the 19th century, these societies really were a major part of the social fabric of the African American community. And I really think that more people should look at the history on the local level of some of the societies. You may learn something about your ancestors if you're able to put your hands on or research some of the texts or the books. Usually they're called proceedings from a particular meeting or convention that took place. You'll find amazing pieces of data in those texts. Well, anyway, we're back to social media. Well, thanks to the effort of Mr. James Morgan III of Hyattsville, Maryland, he created a new group on Facebook that I think should interest a lot of people. The group is called the African American Fraternal and Benevolent Society History Page. And basically, the intent of the group is to present the history of just groups from, well, a number of organizations from that were created in the late 1700s and that exist to the present. Many have died in between, but to really talk about these groups, there are dozens of them, and to also educate the public just about the history of the benevolent societies. Now, I have developed a lecture that I do give occasionally on the impact that many of these groups had on the social lives of our ancestors. And one group, well, actually there are two groups that had an Arkansas origin, and of course being from Western Arkansas and Eastern Oklahoma, some of these groups were very active in the area where I lived as well. And I, as I said, I give lectures occasionally on the impact that these groups had and how we can learn a little bit more about their lives through their membership and through the published proceedings from their annual conventions, because these groups had events regularly. And what remains in many cases are the incredible volumes that really go into detail about the organizations. Now, I'm not talking about trying to learn the secrets or the secret code or the secret handshake or anything like that. I'm just talking about the facts. Number one, the facts that the groups existed, and the fact that many times they would have very, very grand events. And these events were really a major part of the lives of many of our ancestors. And I've become intrigued. Now, I first became interested in benevolent societies when I attended a cemetery preservation conference. Oh gosh, it must be 7 years ago at least. And this was in Central Arkansas in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, at the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff campus. And at that event, there was a presentation on certain types of headstones, and there were all these kind of odd emblems and markings. And I began to notice, oh my goodness, these are, well, not fellowship societies, well, benevolent societies, but these were societies that really had amazing lives. The most incredible one that I learned, and I really had to teach myself a lot about it, was the Mosaic Templars, which was created around 1884 in Arkansas. But then there was the Supreme Royal Circle of Friends of the World, also an Arkansas-based organization, but there were so many more. The United Brothers of Friendship and Sisters of the Mysterious Ten, founded in Kentucky, had an amazing history. I have found photographs that are beautiful images of some of these groups that existed In addition, the Knights of Tabor group stabbed, well, the group actually had its origins with the Knights of Liberty out of Missouri, but they really became very active, particularly along the Mississippi Delta, and the Knights of Tabor actually built the very first hospital that African Americans were able to use in the Mississippi Delta region. Excuse me, prior to that, there were no hospitals for them. And absolutely amazing. But anyway, I just wanted to encourage you, take a look at this social media group. Again, as I said, it's the African American Fraternal and Benevolent Society History Group on Facebook. And I'll try and put a link for you. Hopefully it'll work and take you right to the appropriate group. There's so much that's going on, certainly online. Well, I have a question for you. And I guess this is the beginning of a new feature that I'm going to try and do, if not every week, at least every other week. And yes, it's sort of the genealogy question of the week, but it's not a question that I'm going to read and then provide the answer. I'm going to ask the question and hope, if nothing else, that you will consider the possibilities to the answer. Well, what I want to ask certainly this week is basically, how connected are you? How connected are you? And I don't mean, do you go on a website to pull up census records, whether it's Heritage Quest, which is a free site, Family Search, which is a free site, or Ancestry, which is a subscription site. I mean, how connected are you to others who do the same thing you do? In other words, how connected are you to other genealogists? Are you aware of the plethora of people who are writing and going and really telling this story and talking about their research journey? My goodness, then you need to start looking at blogs and you need to start reading blogs. There are wonderful ones that are out there. And I am just so amazed and so impressed all the time. But I find that those of us who do blog, we kind of know each other. But those who don't blog have no clue that this that kind of activity is going on. So that on one level, do you know anything about the bloggers that are out there within the African American genealogical community? And I want to say something about that, is that you don't have to say, I guess, focus exclusively on a person who is ethnically African American. There are individuals who are not African American at all who also focus on and write and share data on their community, on their work, whether it's cemetery preservation. There's a gentleman in Georgia, Onslow County, North Carolina, who is doing a lot of work on cemeteries, African American cemeteries, preservation of them, and follow his blog. Find out what he's doing. This may inspire you to do something similar or to assist with a similar project in your own community. But there are others out there. So are you connected to others who are out there working in the field? You may have heard of a particular writer who lives in another part of the country. Let's say they live in the Midwest. And maybe you've read one of his or her books and say, oh, yeah, I really like this person's work. Well, guess what? Chances are they are online. Are you following them? They're probably blogging. They're probably writing. And they are definitely teaching. How connected are you? How connected are you to others who have the same degree of passion that you have? I find that sometimes there is that disconnect, and I just hope that we can kind of mend the disconnect that's out there and to get out and start to learn from each other. Anyway, that's my question of the week. How connected are you? Who do you know? And if you don't know, well, I'll put a few recommended sites that you might want to take a look at. Well, I am going to wind things up for today. You know, I appreciate you taking out time. And join me. Join me later today at midday, WYPR.org. And you can listen to the program live streamed. And I've put the phone numbers up if you wish to call in during the show. I am excited about that. And again, just thank you for taking time out. You don't have to do that. You're just as busy as I, and some of you are much busier than I. So know that you are appreciated. Also, don't forget to tune in next week to Bernie Spinnett's show. Last night, by the way, she had Sharma Cargo-Bah, who gave some wonderful advice on finding ancestors, both after slavery ended and also before slavery ended. Excellent, excellent advice. And if you missed it, of course you know, you can always catch Bernice's show immediately after it airs because it appears online as a podcast. But tune in and listen to Char. She gave some wonderful ideas and presented some good information there. And wow, in the meantime, I hope to see some of you tomorrow. I hope some of you will get down to hear Dr. Williams and Dr. Green tomorrow at Reginald Lewis. And I know people all over the place are just having meetings now. They're unfolding. It is springtime, so get out and enjoy some of that beautiful weather. If you're in Washington, after you've gone to the presentation, go down to the Potomac River Basin and go and catch those cherry blossoms as well. Wow, everyone, this has been wonderful just to have a chance to chat with you. I'm going to wind things down for this week. Please remember to do what you do. You know what I'm going to say? Keep researching, keep documenting, and always keep sharing what you find. Take care, everyone. Have a great week. Be well and be safe, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.